Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.
This is Sound and Vision on KEXP. I'm Larry Mizell Jr. Seattle's Martial Law Band is out with a new album. It was inspired by the Seattle protests following the death of George Floyd. It's called 12th and Pine. Martial Law Band has been the de facto house band for the Seattle protests. They saw rubber bullets and flashbangs firsthand. They were there when Seattle police left the East Precinct when Capitol Hill occupied protest, or CHOP, took over the area around 12th and Pine. Martial Law Band were also there when a man named Dan Gregory tried to stop a car from plowing in the CHOP and was shot by the driver. All of this influenced Martial Law Band's latest record.
We really believe that 12th and Pine is something that all sides need to hear. No matter where you sit on this fence, it's really important that you use music as a tool for education and understanding other people's perspectives. And we believe that 12th and Pine represents our perspective from a front lines lens.
That's frontman Marshall Hugh. I talked with him about the band's involvement in the Seattle protests. I first asked, what led the band to 12th and Pine?
Absolutely. Yes. It's a pretty amazing story. And I love telling it because it starts with Black innovation. I was sitting in bed after attending a couple protests and being in the crowd yelling and chanting and really just struggling to find my place and my voice within the movement, like all of us were at that time. Our heads were spinning. And I was watching Omari Salisbury's live stream. And at the time, he did have a media company set up, but he was on his personal Facebook. And his personal Facebook had something like 9,000 followers on it. And he had gotten pepper sprayed for like the third or fourth straight night. And I just remember him screaming while I have my phone in my hand, "Where's the leadership? Where's the leadership?" And it just felt like a direct call to action, like a movie scene. Like, I knew I myself am a leader, a non-conventional one, especially when it comes to music and protests and what people typically think of. But I knew that our platform could continue to energize people, bring more people out to the scene day in and day out the Western Barricade, and support somebody who I saw genuinely needed some help. So Omari Salisbury of Converged Media is what got us out there. And then we linked up with so many different community members and medics and ancillary staff that goes into a protest, bike brigade, car brigade, and really just meshed and became a family out there. This is all pre-CHOP. And then, you know, a bunch of other stuff happened in between then and 12th and Pine.
And then you guys were playing when the Chaz and CHOP were instituted. How did you see kind of things change?
Yeah, it was very interesting because originally when there was just kind of the standoff at the Western Barricade, there was kind of that final night, as people call the Battle for the Hill, the day after Dan Gregory was shot defending at the protest. So very traumatic stuff, right? And as we progressed through that and rubber bullets were flying, tear gas was going everywhere, we just stayed there and played. And when that occurred, and we stayed probably till 2 a.m., this is after our fifth or sixth set in a row, 4 or 5 hours, and the police made the decision to abandon the East Precinct, that really changed and created a vacuum for the arts to boom. So prior towards that, it wasn't a place for the arts to flourish. It was just a place to have the arts be a quelling and healing element amongst the standoff. When the police left the precinct and we got over, of course, the scare of the Proud Boys and all that, that was almost worse the next day. It allowed people to feel safe and set up parameters. And then art performing there became more of a educational and teaching and communal healing moment, as opposed to being in the middle of a war zone pre-CHOP.
Right. And you guys went from kind of more of a, you know, hardly conventional, but conventional band setup where you guys are playing sets to, well, I'm sure you were still playing sets, but, you know, you were kind of underscoring a lot of the speakers, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. You see, on track number 3 of 12th and Pine, we feature a woman that's near and dear to all of our hearts. Her name's Ferry Vaughn, Mother.
Why do we have to say that Black Lives Matter? Why has it even necessary to make a statement that any life matters?
And she was someone who was actually out there with us on the street level pre and during CHOP and would come onto our stage and the band would just play behind her for 15, 20 minutes at a time. We really pride ourselves on not repeating songs ever. And in a 4-hour set, you might think that errs on the side of hubris a bit, but we would find different ways to incorporate other people who may not have felt comfortable yelling on a bullhorn or in the midst of a contentious standoff, but could use our stage and our music to amplify their message. And so that's why we included Vaughn Mother on the 12th and Pine album, because she was out there with us, you know, speaking to the people and delivering her message.
So how is it that in this society, we have to hold up signs and wear t-shirts and have protests and make songs and scream and cry and beg and declare that Black Lives Matter? Have you ever stopped to think why it's even necessary for us to say that?
And that's 13%. It's a really powerful track. Played it a couple times on KEXP actually in the last week or so.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, that Absolutely. that one's big time. She actually, the reason it's called 13% is because that's the percentage of Black people in America. And she wanted to create a movement that would represent something that everybody, no matter their color or creed or identification, they could represent it proudly and not feel, you know, ostracized or like awkward for wearing it. You know, sometimes it's tough for people to wear a fist or something of that nature. So we just wanted to highlight her and give her that space to say what was on her soul. And she came in and just one take jaked it and really just set the tone, especially following the Black Lives Matter anthem that kind of gets people in a hype mood, like, wow, this is serious, but it's fun. And then Vaughn Mother kind of slaps people back to reality and says, why is it even necessary for us to make songs like Black Lives Matter?
Right. I was struck thinking about this conversation today, how, you know, I've been around Seattle music for a while and you'll get, you know, different bands and artists that are, you know, pose as, you know, bad boys, this and that. But like, you guys were really put yourself in the line of fire. And I mean, you still are. I know you're still outperforming during the protests that are happening right now. And Seattle police haven't let up. You know, how do you guys get on the same page and keep such purpose? You know, when you were talking about, you know, playing in the midst of flashbangs and rubber bullets to a situation where, you know, there's Proud Boys walking around strapped.
Yeah, it's again, you know, our band was called Martial Law Band before martial law came to the world, right? And we've been making songs about police brutality and coming together as a society for years now. We've played over 200 shows in Seattle. Any open mic you can name, we've been a part of. And we've always been dedicated towards using our music as a platform to speak on the injustices, especially on racial injustices. So this was natural to us and it felt like a calling. Now, that being said, there's been some moments that have been defining moments that have pushed us past even where we expected our commitment to be. I think one of them when, you know, there was the situation with Dan Gregory, who's featured on track number 6 and Hometown Hero.
What happened to Dan? Dan shot. I said, oh my God.
Yo. Shout out Martial Law, man. It's Dan, man. They call me a hero, but I'm just myself.
You know, I saw my band members, you know, Marty, Mercy Lewis on the keys, Big Pink on the bass, Shred God on the guitar, jump off of the stage, and these are all white men, jump off the stage and put their hands up and hold the line against the police, putting their body at harm. So when I see somebody that doesn't look like me willing to fight for me, that has shown that they're superheroes in my eyes now. So when we got to the point where there was the battle for the hill and rubber bullets were shooting by, I knew that they were already willing to pay whatever price it would take to support what we had going on. So when that situation occurred, it was a no-brainer. Okay, we're going to stand with each other. When the Proud Boys came, you know, somebody came to us and said, hey, you guys should get off the corner here because you could be safer inside. And my father was out there, and I looked at my father and I said, they want us to move. And he said, man, what are you out here for? You know, what did you stand out here the rest of the 5 days for? You're not going to let people push you out of here now and be scared now, because we understand that sacrifices come along with this journey and in this movement. And who are we to dodge those? We have to be willing to live what we talk about in our music. And so, yeah, it's just been a commitment. We were just out there for the 150-day straight protest commemorating, you know, George Floyd's life. And the organizers were out there. We were invited, and it was great to play for the troops. But then they said, you know, we need support. We feel abandoned. We need people to still come out here every day and show us that Black Lives Matter. So it's a constant challenge, not only for people that feel like they're doing a lot for ourselves, but everybody to stay committed. And because there's people doing this day in and day out that need our help.
Right. And I really appreciate your lens, you know, being so community focused. But I have to ask, you know, have you guys ever felt targeted? Has there been any threat? You know, have you had any ill situations with the police or you know, any of the wackos that have come out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything you can think of, we pretty much had it. But, you know, I try not to dwell on those, because I've seen people cry tears of joy and communicate how much the music means to them and how much us being out there means to them. So we're not facing any other risk that any other organizer in this movement or this community for decades and generations now faces. You have to step up and say, I'm going to be targeted, and I accept that, but I'm going to walk in a path of love and light, and I don't anticipate any harm happening to me, because I don't anticipate causing any harm to anyone else.
Right on, right on. There was so much media on 12th and Pine in particular over these last few months. And when I've talked to people outside of Seattle, they would check in with me and be like, are you good? They're saying the city's on fire and it's just total anarchy. Because I think there are a lot of people who have fallen for the narrative, you know, about what a crazy, lawless, you know, outback that, Seattle has become. Have you had to deal with any of those kind of false perceptions?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a wide, because I went to school out in Pittsburgh, right? So I had a wide array of friends, you know, so they'd be messaging me like, bro, are you all right? Like, you got to get out of there, man. And at the time when it actually was a standoff, I understood that. And I just had to tell them like, hey, I know I'm risking my life. But then once the media had like swirled Chop or Chaz, whatever they wanted to call it, into this strange ball, the concern of my life was just not even really realistic like that. And it was weird. It was very weird. That's what our whole song Real News is about, because we saw our face on Fox News. They called me Chaz Marshall of Antifa. We saw our face on, right? I know, I couldn't believe it.
Incredible.
That one was actually like, I almost appreciated that one because it was just a belly laugh. But the, and then, you know, CNN, they depicted a real story, but it was also, you know, it was clickbait in a lot of ways. And so that's what we say in our first track, Real News, and we call it REEL News, you know, and I say, chop, chop, your edits turn my city into Gotham, sensationalize our problems. Now I'm in the mirror like, what happened? Still, it's lights, camera, action, no backtracking, because I don't need CNN or Fox News. Nah, no, I need truth.
So what I tell them? No, I don't need CNN or Fox News. Nah, no, I need truth. That's all I need. That's all no, I don't need CNN or Fox News. Nah, me.
You know, and these are real life situations that we experienced, and we saw the media twist and warp stories that we actually know what was going on because we saw it, and use our face and our message for their own purposes and not just tell the truth that would actually have united people.
Right on. Right on. Real words. So just to wrap up, what do you think people that are here in your town can do, or what do you see that needs to happen in terms of support that can move the needle, you know, on this.
Absolutely. You know, I think what people need to do and what 12th and Pine represents, if nothing else, is that this isn't just an album. This is an experience. This is something we live. This is a documentary. This is a graphic novel. This is us digging deep in our passions and pushing ourselves in our passion and lending our talents to the movement to amplify the message in a lane that we feel comfortable in, because you have to remain strong in adversity. And if you don't feel comfortable in your lane and you don't feel passionate in your lane, you're going to waver. And then you have to have a great team in a unit behind you. And when you have those things and you lend those to the movement, you're not going to experience burnout, and people are going to stay in their lane, and they're actually going to do more good and not step all over other people who are experts in politics. I can't pretend to be Nikita Oliver. I can't pretend to be Y King, King Equity Now. I really can't. But what I can do is take their message and amplify it and say, go to them if you want to talk to somebody, Mayor Durkan. But if you need a concert to rally these troops, and if you need some thought-provoking music in the meantime to bring people out to the streets, I got you. And I'll carry the torch during that segment. But when it comes to the right time to hand off and deflect attention, media, or get the right person in the right meeting, that's something that we all need to understand our role. And we can't do that without finding our passion and empowered in the movement. A lot of people are fighting because they don't know what else to do, but they know they want to help. You got to do the things you're good at already, because that way you're going to consistently do them. If you just show up for, you know, the first 20 days as the everyday march and the nightly march and the direct action march communicated on the 150-day march, then you're going to burn out, and then you've abandoned those people. You have to do something that's not going to have you just come for a quick bit and dip out. This is for life, and we got to make a change now, because this could really be the movement of all movements.
I've been talking to Marshall Hugh, the Marshall Law Band, whose new album 12th and Pine is out now. You can purchase that on Bandcamp. Marshall, I'm hoping you could tell me about a song that we can go out on that you would choose from 12th and Pine.
Yeah, it's hard to choose because all of them kind of feel like my babies still. But if I had to pick one that really encapsulates the moment right now, it's just a reminder. We have to chant it. We have to write it on signs. We have to make songs. And that's Black Lives Matter. This is actually a song that we made up on the streets of Seattle playing during the protests. And it's just grown into this genre blending. It has J-Mo the Bird. It has Alex Dugdale on clarinet. And this is Black Lives Matter. Don't you forget it.
Going on, hearing them flowing on to all the single mothers fighting God to stay strong. This is a purpose, the reason why we'll never be perfect. Look under the surface to see can find an enemy lurking. They still berserking, but you know that I'm still gonna be working, working, working. Don't you know?
That was Sound and Vision. I'm Larry Mizell Jr. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And if you have the means, please consider giving a one-time $20 donation to support this podcast at kexp.org/sound. Thanks for listening.